This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
Welcome to In Focus here, News Radio KMAN. I'm Nick McNamara. Dave Lewis producing on the other side of the glass, and it's a little bit of a change-up for when we usually talk to you guys. Usually you're in here on Tuesdays. Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear here. Mayor Mike Dodson couldn't make it because we switched the schedule to a Monday. Also in Assistant Fire Chief Brad Clausen. And thanks, first of all, thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having us, Nick.
You bet. Thanks.
Yeah. And so the meeting's tomorrow, 7 p.m. in City Chambers. Not tonight, so I'm going to mess that up a few times saying tonight instead of tomorrow. But just bear with me there. But I think it would probably be good to start off talking a little bit about your side of things regarding all the emergency operations and flooding concerns over the past week. And so basically just how's it been going from your side? And as we spoke to Pat Collins earlier, there's some decreases. It's looking good, but there's still a lot of water there.
Sure. Thank you. Well, all in all, I think our planning efforts and the work of a great number of folks, including Pat and his crew, and really it's a multi-governmental public-private entity operation that has led to some really good work in prevention aspects and preparing different aspects for the flood. It was good that the Corps was able to kind of turn back that rising shift on Friday and able to increase the releases to kind of catch that growing wave that was coming. And fortunately, it quit raining, which helped a ton. So that really allowed them to we've lowered the lake about almost a foot and a half. It was at 11:34:58 at 8:15 this morning. So that's a good direction to be going. There's still some inflows coming in from Nebraska, and it's raining pretty good up there this morning. That's supposed to stay up there. So that'll take a couple days for that to get down. So if we can continue to drop the reservoir down to a level where we can breathe a little easier, that would be great. Obviously, we're breathing easier already as we're ramping down some of our emergency aspects in the Emergency Operations Center. But it's still important to keep our guard up. At 30,000, the blue's still at flood stage, over flood stage, actually. And so we've got water up against the levee on the blue side, and that backs the water up on the Kansas, even though the Kansas River's been dropping also. Our floodgates on the levee are closed. We've added three supplemental pumping stations so far along that corridor that helps us if we get a large rain in the community where, you know, Manhattan's at the bottom of the watershed, bottom of the bathtub, I like to refer to it. So any rain that falls is trapped inside, and we have to pump that through the levee over to the riverside. So that's still a threat. Obviously, Milford is looking at making some small releases this week, and I think they're starting today on that, releasing maybe 4,000 CFS as they're within 3.5 feet of their full level, and their releases are uncontrolled after that once it reaches the overflow. So whatever's in is coming out, that will impact our elevations again on the Kansas side. So I anticipate at least as long as releases from Tuttle are above 25,000, we'll probably keep most of the gates closed on the levee, which makes us a little vulnerable for those flash flood events that might occur in the community itself. But it was good to give a few folks a break over the weekend and ramp down the numbers of people that have been going at it here now for really over a week. And it's just the partnership and the work of the various professionals has been phenomenal. And I want to thank them for their efforts. Certainly feel bad for folks that are being impacted, and that we put the evacuation advisory in effect. And I think it's going to be, I was here in 93, and the circumstances were quite a bit different from that aspect. The Kansas River was way up all the time, and then Tuttle was actually able to release a lot of their increases until everybody was having to hold, and all the lakes are filling up again. Downstream, you know, historic floods on the Missouri and the Arkansas and Arkansas and the Mississippi still. So a lot of the lakes are wanting to get rid of their water, but there's a lot of flooding still going on. So this certainly has a potential to be with us for quite a while this summer. And so it's just something we're going to be constantly vigilant and observing and making sure that we're aware of what's going on. And that certainly has an impact on the folks that live in some of those areas to be wary of that and understand that. But it's something that we just need to be concerned about and continually monitoring and ramping up for events as they occur.
Yeah, you mentioned Milford just real briefly. They are going to be doing 4,000 CFS releases, I believe, and the latest inflow chart shows 5,800 CFS inflows. So it'll get them some relief there, that's for sure, but there's still a little more inflow than outflow on that, and we'll be monitoring that as that comes. And Brad, the EOC was there at the Manhattan Fire Department HQ, and I'm sure there's a lot of late nights and the like, and you've all been working really hard at keeping things up to date there. And talk a little about your side and how you've been seeing everything play out.
Yeah, and I'd echo a little bit of what Ron said. You know, it's been a fantastic effort from everyone involved, great coordination. Everybody involved has done a super job. You know, and I was here in 93 as well, as Ron said, and you know, the difference now with that event, you know, we have so much more technology and a better ability to predict where that water might go, gives us a better ability to, you know, look at where we might have potential evacuations or at least the evacuation advisories. It's just a much better, much more coordinated effort now, I think. You know, we're still meeting daily, and EOC still in operation at this point. So, you know, and we still have a high water advisory. So just want to make sure everybody's aware that, you know, while we've lifted the evacuation advisory, we still have a high water advisory. And again, as Ron said, we've got a lot of water coming down the Blue River, and that water backs up into some areas that it wouldn't take too much more, you know, for it to cause a much bigger problem.
Yeah, yeah, and I completely lost my train of thought. But and you mentioned for those folks out there, I've also been hearing that some of the gas service has been coming back on as well. I know that they shut off a number of gas lines in the area for people in the evacuation advisory. And I actually put out a post on social media asking folks, hey, are you getting it back on? And I've been hearing that a lot of people are getting it back, and I haven't heard very many saying that they didn't get it back at the very least.
The report yesterday at the EOC was the gas company had turned off about 350 total in the area, in town and in the rural areas. And I think they said they had about 250 of those turned back on. And had left tags and have people on standby. So one of the things that they reported that some of those houses are vacant and some of the owners are, and even the ones that aren't, some of them are choosing not to have it turned back on. So it's really more of a situation. We also had a few folks that were at the shelter, and it's closing this morning. So that operation is winding down. They've left information at those addresses for the number to call to have someone come out and turn their gas back on. They need to supervise that event, make sure the pilot's light, and so there's not a safety issue there.
And as conditions change, you know, all of that can open back up, of course. The shelter will shut down, but if things change again, it's not going to be gone for good.
Right. It's, you know, that's the thing about the EOC. We're going to ramp down from 24/7 that we've been to 12 hours, just to potentially an on-call situation. So, you know, we're probably going to leave a lot of the information that we have up. The room's ready and able to function. It's not our normal emergency operations center. That one's at the police department. So it takes a while to get that mobilized and set up. We've had great support also from our state partners for our incident management teams from the Kansas Department of Emergency Management last week. We had a transitioning team from the local Kansas Forest Service that was providing that support over the weekend, and they're we're going back to full local control as of today. So some good transitioning that's occurring there, but it was a lot of great help that allowed everybody to do their jobs better because they had that backup support.
Ron, Governor Graves over the weekend approved Riley and Pottawatomie counties and Geary County, among others, for federal disaster assistance. What does that mean for the city of Manhattan?
So for our group, you know, the governor's declaration, I think the president also signed that
one. He did sign that, yeah. Yes. And then the governor added more counties to
right.
the list.
And so what that means is, so we were in a prevention type mode for protection measures. And so that allows a lot of that putting equipment in place, any costs we incur for protective measures, equipment we may have had to rent, might cover some of the overtime hours, that sort of thing. For it makes that eligible for reimbursement, depending on what kind of ultimately package we get.
And unfortunately, we have no idea what the extent of that is, because there's still the potential for some risk within this entire summer.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those summers where just because of the river elevations and the lakes being full, and we're going to be, until we can really pump those levels down, we're going to be at a situation where we're going to be, you know, a 2-inch rain away from being in another emergency situation.
I made the analogy this morning that we may have dodged the bullet, but the chamber's still loaded and the magazine is still in place.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the train, that train came back into station, by the way,
yeah.
When I lost that earlier. But you're talking about the difference in response and the difference in information. And I've just the internet's just been amazing with that, because the information, the charts, and the things that people are able to access without, you know, necessarily needing people's giving broadcasting or going to a meeting, they're able to get that online like at whim almost.
I think that's a huge difference from 93. Just, you know, with all the social media, our PIO group, our public information officer group, has just been knocking it out of the park. And I can't say enough about that group. It's a local group of professionals that are well organized anyway, and it was multifaceted. I mean, we had PIOs from the county, the cities, the university, the school district, the police department. I mean, all of the agencies had their POs, and they were staffing those phones 24/7, and really coming up with creative ways to get the word out. I mean, taking videos, just any number of ways to the news conferences that we had, trying to get as much information, accurate information, you know, rumor control,
yes,
all of that, which you all at the media play such a great part at as well. So it's a huge team effort and will continue to be that. And I just can't say enough about all of the great help and assistance that we had from all of the groups.
Yeah, we'll be monitoring it, and we'll be in touch as this all changes, and I'm sure we'll be speaking to you about it in the future, too, if things continue, or I guess worsen.
We'll be here.
Way to put it. Definitely. We'll be back shortly here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.